Welcome to the CGN Mission and Methods Podcast, Season 3. My name is Nick Cady. I'm the pastor of Whitefields Community Church in Longmont, Colorado, and I will be your host this season. The goal and vision of this podcast is that this would be a forum for communication about Calvary Global Network. We want to share with you some of the stories about what God is doing. We want to talk about some of the initiatives that we're involved in spearheading. And we also want to answer some of the questions you might have about who we are as a network. In the episodes in this season, I'm joined by Kellen Criswell, the former executive director and now global strategist for CGN. And in many episodes, I'm also joined by Brian Broderson, founder and president of CGN and the pastor of Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa. These past several years have presented new challenges for pastors and leaders, and many studies are showing that discouragement is at an all-time high. Even without the unique events of the past few years, pastoring and leading can be difficult. So what is CGN doing as a network to provide care and coaching for pastors and leaders? In this episode, Brian Broderson, Kellen Criswell, and I are joined by Rob Salvato, who leads the leadership, care, and coaching team for CGN. In our discussion, Rob shares about the ways their team is developing systems to help pastors and leaders in practical ways, including providing resources to help them lead and providing a lifeline for those who are struggling. In this episode, we share about some of the struggles we've faced as leaders and how relationships within our network helped us during those times, as well as how we would like to make that experience available to anyone else who needs it. Here's the episode. Welcome to the CGN Mission and Methods Podcast. This is Nick Cady, and I'm joined today by a crew of some of my favorite people. I'm here with Rob Salvato, Brian Broderson, Kellen Criswell. Hey guys, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, man.
Great to be here.
Yeah, great to be here, Nick.
So what we're highlighting, along with talking about some of the values of CGN, we're also talking about some of the initiatives that CGN's involved with. And this is one of the things that I love. I mean, I think that if we're going to be a network, if we're going to be a community of churches working together collaboratively for gospel mission, what does that actually look like in practice? And how can we make sure that we're actually taking care of our pastors if you're part of this group? And so, Rob, tell us a little bit about what you do with the team that you and Ted Leavenworth are leading.
Yeah. Well, I think I would divide what we do into three categories, and they would be to encourage, equip, and to engage. And the first one is encourage. And we all know pastors are lonely. Pastors are going through just really difficult things, especially in the last 20 months, but even in general, the spiritual warfare is heavy. And so one of the things that we've tried to do is to make ourselves available, all the guys that are on this team, to pastors that are struggling. And that could be just being available for phone calls. And we have pastors that call us quite often to, you know, just want to bounce something off or share something that they're struggling with. People that are in our area, we try to, whenever they are available, to meet with them over coffee or lunch and just be a sounding board, just be available to hear what's going on and just try to encourage them in various ways. If we're traveling, we try to get together with the different guys in maybe the area where we're traveling. And then if there's somebody who is outside of our immediate reach, one of the things that we've really tried to do is to help connect them with somebody in their area who we know has that heart and would meet with them and just come alongside to encourage them in that type of way. All of us have planted churches before, and I know when I was up in Oregon, one of the things that sometimes was, you know, really difficult was feeling like you needed a break, but you didn't have anybody to maybe fill in your church at that time. Are in unique places right now in our ministries where we have just a great staff and guys that can fill in for us. So we've actually made ourselves available to fill in for guys when they need a break and just say, hey, we'll come, and even on our own dime, we'll come and fill in for you. If you just need a break or you're going on vacation and you just would like somebody to come in and fill the pulpit. So those are some of the various ways that we try to just be available to encourage guys who are, you know, struggling and guys that are going through difficult, just being available. And sometimes it's even practical type of questions that they might have, maybe not so much of something they're dealing with, but just being available to answer questions that they have about something that they're dealing with in their church.
I'm sure all of us could tell stories about times we needed a bit of encouragement. I remember pastoring Hungary and just being hours away from the nearest, at least Calvary Chapel pastor, somebody who shared the same kind of ethos and mission and vision for ministry, and just feeling, yeah, like I was way out there and nobody knew what I was doing or if I was doing okay. And I actually remember going through a time where I really struggled. I had a crisis of faith, and it would have been nice to have somebody to talk to about that. And so is that the idea?
Yeah, absolutely. And Brian remembers a time in my life when I was up in Oregon and going through one of the deepest, darkest moments. And it was a phone call from him that actually pulled me out of it, and God just used him to open up my eyes to what I wasn't paying attention to and seeing. And so, yeah, that happens a lot. Guys just struggling with their calling or struggling with, you know, depression or struggling with things not going on in their church the way that maybe they hoped that it would be going, would be happening. And so lots of questions.
This is kind of really the heart of Calvary Chapel, at least to the way that Calvary Chapel has functioned and what I think is the real strength of it. Mm. Beyond, of course, our biblical teaching, beyond our missional ethos, there's also this very relational aspect of Calvary Chapel. It's people who support each other. You know, it's interesting because when I first came back to Colorado after being in Hungary, my assistant pastor, who I inherited from the pastor who was there before me. So I brought him with me to a Calvary Chapel conference. It was in Marietta at the time. And he said he was just so blown away by how supportive everybody was of each other in the group. And he said that in the group of churches that he had come out of, these conferences, man, it was all about competition. It was all, and almost like everybody was not only competing with each other, but kind of wanting to put each other down. And he said that Calvary, as an outsider coming into it, he could just see that there was something special about the relational aspect of that. Kellen, Brian, what's your experience with this part of the of Calvary Chapel, and why is this an important initiative for us?
Yeah, to me, that's a huge part of all this. And just sitting in this room with you guys, I can think relational. I've known Rob since he was a teenager, and we've been through lots of things. And like he said, I remember that conversation we had on the phone where he was discouraged. And I wanted to say, that is a common experience. Everybody in ministry will go through that at least once, if not 10 times. I mean, it's a real thing. There's a battle, and there are forces of darkness that do not want us to do what we're doing. And discouragement is a big tool of the devil. And to have somebody to just be there to listen and to help get a perspective is so huge. And that happens really best when there's a relationship. For me, everything really is relational. Wherever I've invested over the years, I've always made a decision in going into it that I'm going to be in this for the long haul. I mean, I've had invitations to go places and do things. And I think, well, do I see myself with a long-term relational thing there? Probably not. So I'm going to pass on that, but I'm going to dive deeper into this because the relationships are there. So it's a huge part of our DNA, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, on the personal side, I definitely have experienced this. This is why you and I are friends, Brian.
Yeah.
So when I was 25 and a first-time senior pastor alone in the middle of nowhere in Idaho, you know, I'm looking around. I'd come into contact with Calvary through some literature and then ultimately ended up helping at a very small Calvary in this little rancher town in Idaho that I eventually became the senior pastor of. I'm out there. I don't know anybody. I don't know any of the Calvaries in Idaho. I don't know any Calvary, anyone, anywhere, you know. But I'd gotten a hold of some of your teaching, Brian. And, you know, like we all do, we find teachers that we resonate with. I was listening to some of Brian's stuff. I started doing some courses by correspondence at CCBC. And I was like, I remember I was thinking about planting a church after, as a next season for me, even at that time, which is funny because I was pretty new to the whole thing. But I remember I was just having this moment one day. I had no one to talk to and to process my thoughts. And I thought, I wish I could talk to that guy, Brian Broderson, but he's at a church of like 40,000 people. He's never going to have the time of day for me. So I went and I remember I read your blog at Back to Basics, and that day was like the only day in 5 years you had specifically written about church planning. And it just was a timely word for me. And I responded to the blog and said, hey, I don't know if you'll even read this, but I just want you to know somebody out there in the universe heard this today, and it was the right thing. And then to my surprise, one of the things I appreciated most about you, even to this day, I got a response back. I remember you said, hey, why don't you give me your number? I'll give you a call. And that started our relationship. I remember you just let me call you up and you pick your brain for an hour while you were driving to a hospital visit for somebody. And then at that next senior pastor's conference, we met in person and you introduced me to Char and some other things. But just to say, yeah, I felt that isolation and all of that. And it was in that situation, a guy like Brian, who's further down the road than I am, willing to open the relational door and say, hey, not only connect to me, but why don't you connect to others? And just the value of that at that time was, you can't overstate it. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, when you mentioned about the conference, I think one of the things that Brian has modeled for all of us that I just love is anytime you're at a conference, you know, that he's at, you'll find him walking around in the courtyard, and he's just always stopping and talking, engaging with different people. And constantly. And I just love that example about the way that he, you know, does that and just has a way of just seeking to encourage and build, you know, that relationship with different people. And I think that's, you know, something that we all need to be doing. And that's the heart of this team, is just to be able to be as relational as we possibly can and walk down, you know, roads with people and other pastors and leaders and things that they're going through. And there's always those guys that come to a conference or they don't know and they're just hoping to fit in. And yeah. So the more of us that are just trying to be a help in that way, and it means the world.
Yeah. I think of that sometimes. Because sometimes at a conference, you'll see a guy and he's just deer in the headlights, man. You know that this guy is like, he doesn't know anybody. Yeah. He just feels, man, what am I even doing here? I should probably leave. And that's the guy you're like, I got to grab that guy right now, you know.
Well, beyond just the general isolation and struggles that come with that, what do you think are some of the things that pastors are struggling with the most right now? Like, what are some of the things that you guys are hearing from people?
Well, I'll jump in on that first. I think that what I've seen is obviously guys are trying to figure out their church right now. And the last 22 months have been really difficult, and everybody's dealt with it in different ways. And everybody I talk to is just trying to figure out, I don't know what's going on right now. And where my church is at. And there's people that aren't there and new people are here. And so that's a big one that comes up. And then I think also guys just struggling with a sense of what they should be focused right now in this time. And so I know guys are dealing, you know, with that. And depending on how the church is going, then they're dealing with and struggling with just discouragement or, like I said before, just that sense of focus. Everything's been changing so much. And I think everybody's looking for some sort of normalcy. And but I think we're in the midst of a new normal that we just have to embrace, and trying to help guys navigate that is one of the things that I've been seeing and have a lot of conversations with different guys about. What about you guys?
Yeah. And I think obviously the pandemic has exacerbated that and it's taken it to a whole new level. And I think, I don't know about you, Rob or Nick, still we are unsettled, you know, as a church. I'm not quite sure what is what these days.
Exactly.
But I think the important thing, because here's where I think the pastor can get into trouble, is if you're looking out and you're seeing, okay, I got one third the congregation I used to have, I don't know where everybody else is. If that starts to control what you do, then that's going to create a problem.
Exactly.
I think you have to just hunker down and say, okay, I just have to be faithful. This is what I can do, and this is what only God can do.
Exactly.
So I'm just going to take care of the people in front of me, assume that there are other people that are not in front of me, but they're still listening, so I want to minister to them. And then for everybody else, it's, okay, that's not my problem. God, that's in the Lord's hands. And I think this predates COVID, and it will post-date COVID. I think probably every pastor has struggled with this at some point or another, and some people struggle with it perpetually, and that's success. Mm-hmm. What is success? What does success look like? And we have 100 different models that are presented to us all the time about what success is. And in the day of an age of social media, it's intensified so much more. So I think we always have to just go back to those things. What does God say success is? And here we're talking about pastoring. And I was just finishing the Gospel of John again the other day. And as Jesus is restoring Peter, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep, tend my lambs. And it's like, okay, that's success right there. That's what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. The other stuff, that's beyond me a lot of times. God, you got to do that.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was on staff with you at Vista, you took us through, and I've done it several times now with our staff, the book by Ken Hughes, Liberating Ministry from the Success Syndrome. Yeah. And I think every pastor should read that every couple of years because it's such a good reminder of what our focus is supposed to be on. And it's like you
Absolutely.
Said, in our staff meeting before I came here today, we actually talked about that very thing in, in John 21 with Jesus and Peter. And then the part that happens right after that, when the Lord's saying to Peter what's going to happen to him, and he's, what about that guy? Let's talk about John. And that's where we get in trouble. We start looking at, you're doing that over there. Why aren't you doing that here? And it's like, you feed and tend and take care of who God's put in front of you. Yeah. Such a good word.
Yeah, one of the things that I think also issues that I've had some guys call me, but I know that I've also called Ted. And this was maybe even a couple of years ago before we had this structure. I called Ted because I'm like, Ted, I'm now moving into a stage in my church that I've never been in before. And I don't know how to lead in this stage as the church is growing, as my staff is growing. I've got some new challenges and I've never been here before, but I know you have. So maybe you could talk me through how to actually do this stuff. Like, we were hiring an executive pastor. What does an executive pastor do? I feel like I need one, but I don't know what he does, right? And what should I look for? What should I watch out for? Another one was transitioning to two services. Like, how do you do this? How do you do it well? Ted gave me this analogy that I use to this day. We started doing these town hall meetings. We do it quarterly so that when we announce them, nobody thinks that there's a crisis. But he always said, your church building is the family van. As your family grows, you need a bigger van, but that's all it is. You know, you don't have a family so that you can get a van, right? And just these kinds of things where somebody who's been there was so helpful for me.
Yeah.
And I've found that there are a lot of pastors just where I'm at in Colorado who will call me up with similar things. Hey, I'm facing something I've never faced before, but I know you have. So what? Help me out. Do you guys get some of those calls?
Oh, yeah. And Ted's brilliant when it comes to a lot of those things. But yeah, we'll get calls about board structure or, hey, I got this person on staff that I'm having a hard time with. Have you ever dealt with something like this? And it seems like with everybody that we talk to, if we haven't been through what they're going through right now, we know somebody who has, that we're able to say, you know what, let me put you in contact with. He's walked down that road. I'll attach or connect you guys. And but yeah, lots of practical questions like that of moving into different avenues and situations or going to two services or should we go from two to three? And so, yeah, we get a lot of questions like that.
Yeah, I think that all of us can survey our distant and recent history and find the kind of sadnesses and turmoil that make us convicted that this type of team is necessary for the ministry. Yeah. Even in, if, gosh, I guess just in case it liberates anybody out there, it has been a hellish couple of years for me and my family. I know for all of us, but the way I thought just through my own stuff this past couple of years, it's, I think of it like there's this global plot, and that's the pandemic, obviously. But then underneath that, there's our broader personal circles of relationship plot that's going on, where even recently, especially for you, Brian, and you, Rob, we lost our good friend Ray Bentley. Yeah. We've lost family members. We've lost friends. We've dealt with those things. For me, we've got a son with type 1 diabetes that's been a heightened concern of pressure and stress throughout this entire last couple years. Just even recently, I was sharing with Brian, I'm not somebody who struggles with depression as a general thing, but I had about 2.5 months of just radical, irrational depression of just the only thing that you can think of, the only thing you can see is the worst stuff about yourself and everything else going around. And that to me is that then you've got your own very personal subplot to the broader things that are going on and the mental health things that are going on right now. And it's, I think in a lot of ways, the pandemic and the unique environment it's created, it's determined what some of the substance of that looks like. Obviously it has for us, but if it wasn't a pandemic, we all had other things that were putting us in the pressure cooker before too. So it's just like, part of it's the nature of being human. Part of it's the nature of the unique war of ministry leadership and so on. I think we're just always going through. And on that liberation point, if that's you out there, I think you're the norm if you're depressed in the ministry right now and really struggling with that. And there are great helps out there, but part of what we wanted to do as a ministry org with CGN is say, how do we not just have it be happenstance moments where you find somebody who's helpful to you, but how can we even systematize certain things that can be a go-to for help? How do we develop tools and resources? And Ted and Rob and these guys have done a great job taking that kind of idea, and you guys put together the podcast that's disseminating a lot of helpful wisdom that you've learned over the years. I know that Ted and you and the team have put together a growing toolkit, is what we're calling it, where we have things like sample bylaws that guys can call and get. But for me, you know, the question we started with this team in November 2019 at this big collaborative planning meeting was, as you're helping everybody else go through their crap, excuse my language, who's going to help you go through your crap? And that's really the spirit that we set out with in this team to start thinking and praying through and collaborating about a vision and initiatives and so on. And to me, so we've got all these great things that are happening, but I really, my hope for CGN is that on a global level, we're even going to be able to do things like you would do at a local church, where if you have a particular counseling situation and it's crossing that line out of the discipleship and into the medical field, like at Costa Mesa, we've got some great partnerships with solid Christian organizations where we can refer. I want to see us in CGN on a systemic level establish those kinds of partnerships so that when somebody calls Ted or Rob and they're going, yeah, I can help you with the bylaws, but I'm not a mental health family therapist or something, but we've got somebody in Europe that's an org missionary that will help you where you're at with it. And I'd like to see that. I'd like to see us take some of our properties in Austria and so on and think about ministry vision for what if somebody doesn't need that level of care, but can we reserve a room where they can get some R&R for a month with their wife because they're just at that point and they need to get off the field. So just to say, that's a little bit of history for this, but it's also, I think, some of the kinds of things that we're going to be praying and working toward from a strategic standpoint too.
And like you said, some of that stuff did exist in the past, but you had to like know about it or you had to stumble upon it.
Yeah.
And so what we're trying to do is
Let's take the mystery out of that, make it overt and explicit and you know where to go to find it.
And I think too, in the past, I do think that there was a culture where there was shame connected to weakness. So you tended to not want anybody to know. And it was only when it was finally too late that it all came out.
Well, I guess he wasn't filled with the Spirit.
And so I think, thank God that I think that shaming age has passed and that mentality has passed. It's, and I'm saying this because I was thinking as we were talking, I was just thinking, man, in the last few years, we've seen a number of fairly high-profile pastors commit suicide. And it's, Rob, in all the years we've been in ministry together, I mean, that it's like never even crossed anybody's mind that was going to be happening. And there's probably a number of factors why that has happened. But I remember the one that I had briefly had a little bit of contact with a guy named Darren Patrick. And Darren was, you know, quite well-known in certain circles. And Darren had some struggles in ministry, had recovered, it seemed, and was going back and being strengthened and moving on in his gifting. And then all of a sudden, he takes his life. And I mean, that one really just shocked me. What is going on in the minds of people? And then when you read his story a little bit, you realize that there was so much shame connected to his failure and the expectations that were on him that he didn't live up to. And man, we have got to.
And oftentimes, oftentimes in those kind of situations, the outside persona is one that you would never guess that.
You'd never guess
it. A million years. But it's probably not being able to feel like they had somebody they could really talk to and share with.
And I think, to me, these are some of the things that are really ugly, but we haven't, the pandemic has basically forced us into an opportunity to assess what are the ideas underneath the way that we just assume ministry should be presented, the success that you were talking about, that maybe are at the heart of this, that really God hasn't required of us. He doesn't define ministry that way. But we have done this and created our own prison. Is it a model of the pastorate? We've all talked about the celebrity pastor thing that we just can't. And it's not out there, it's in us. It's that we just can't seem to get away from. But this pressure that creates where because your job is connected to your character. You either think you're killing it and you're deluded or you're not and you're depressed. Yeah. Yeah. And the person who's in the pew is they're up there, so they must be killing it. Yeah. Or and all that. It does a number on you mentally.
That's the thing that I really enjoy, though, about the second thing that I would say that we're about and that we're doing is the equipping. And that is this podcast, the Leadership Collective podcast that we're doing. And it's, the thing I like about this podcast, I think, is very unique. I like to listen to leadership podcasts and things like that. But the thing that's, to me, unique about this one is it's more of a panel discussion. It's one of the only ones I know like that where it's we'll have three, four, sometimes five different people on at one time. So you're getting all these different perspectives. Remember one of the first episodes we did was with you and Mark Forman on the subject of vision, and they couldn't have been more different in the way that they approached it. And then we did a follow-up with Ed Taylor and Nate Holdridge, and they were, you know, as different. But it was great so guys. Great to be able to see that it's something that you just put in a box, but it's the different perspectives from different guys on what they're dealing with and how they're approaching things. And so I've really enjoyed that a lot. And I think it's been really helpful. We're getting incredible just feedback from different pastors all over that are listening to it and writing or calling and just saying, hey, I listened to this and I got a question or I really enjoyed. You know, we did a whole episode with Wesley Town and Wayne Cordero on mental health. And man, it was so good and such incredible insights from two guys. One, Wayne, who went through a breakdown, and then Wesley, who was on the verge, and that's Wesley's thing now. And man, these had such incredible insights that I think is really helpful. Yeah. So that's something that we are really seeking to do at least once a month, have an episode that we put out that deals with some subject that we think will just be really helpful.
And like I said a minute ago, I just want to reiterate it because maybe somebody's listening. The stigma of mental illness that existed, it was across the culture. It wasn't just exclusively in the church, but I think it was even more pronounced in the church because, you know, somehow because you're a Christian, you're supposed to have all of that sorted out. And the last thing you could do would go to a counselor or, man, if you got on medication, you were really—
You're going to lose your job. You're going to be, you know, shamed.
Yeah, because after all, you obviously aren't trusting God.
Yeah.
And man, thank God that hopefully we have risen above that to be able to say, and Rob, because you lived with me through a lot of it, I went through years with chronic fatigue and depression and these kinds of things. And although I hated every single second of it, I'm thankful for it today because it enables me to connect with people and to identify things and to recognize, hey, this is what's going on with you. You actually need, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to encourage you from the scripture. You need to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
You need to get some blood work. You need to, talk about brain chemistry, all of these kinds of things, because those are real factors that I think in the past that we've completely overlooked to the detriment
It's interesting too, like how I think there are things that are really good things about our movement of churches, our theology even, that a lot of what we're talking about is a misapplication of it. So like with this particular thing, Calvary really has a Keswick view of the filling of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually a good view of it, just in the sense, in the general sense, that we believe in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that God wants to and is willing to fill any ordinary person with his Spirit and empower you to live a godly life for Christ and a faithful witness for him. So that's a good thing. But I think a misapplication of it in things like this is, therefore, if you're walking in the Spirit and you're a Spirit-filled person, you won't be depressed or you won't need this and that and the other thing. And we don't, it's like somehow we lost the narrative that only broken people get filled with the Spirit. And everyone who is filled with the Spirit is a broken person who is filled with the Spirit.
Good.
And it doesn't remove these other pieces of our fallenness, of the impact of entropy in the world, just because you're full of the Spirit of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. And for everybody listening who says, what the Keswick, what does that mean? So Keswick is a conference that's taken place in England for over 100 years now. But the emphasis is almost like it's not a sinless perfection, but it's like a second kind of a blessing thing where if you get
a higher
this,
life,
then it's the deeper spiritual life. So if you've got this, then all of your other problems are taken care of. So if you've got these other problems, then what you really need is you just need to get this experience. Mm. So you keep chasing after the experience.
Right.
It's a bit of a distortion. But that teaching got perpetuated over the decades through Keswick. It's changed now because they a real diversity of speakers these days. But again, it goes back over 100 years. Yeah. So,
but I think those kinds of conversations are important to the nature of Rob's team and Ted's team. And that's what I was getting at earlier, even about the way we think about ministry. You're talking about Wesley and Wayne. And Brian and Rob, you guys both have 20 plus years more experience than either Nick or I do. So I'd love to hear guys like you at this stage. Just think about that. Are there things in our model of the pastorate that don't have to be the way that they are, that we maybe need to think about changing, that are causing unnecessary pressure cooker dynamics on us today?
And that's something that's been done throughout different ages of the church. We've looked at the way that pastoring is done and said, we should probably stop killing
it, right?
Like, this isn't good for people. And so we're trying to do some of that and leverage some of the relationships and resources that we have as a network.
Yeah. The big fear used to be, who's the next guy that's going to have an affair?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy to me that right now it feels almost as common to hear about a pastor taking his life as falling into sexual sin.
It's true.
And that's anecdotal, but it's, again, we got to press into this somehow.
And so, Rob, let's say somebody's listening to this podcast and they're like, that sounds amazing. That's what I need. I need a lifeline. I need a point of connection. How does somebody get in touch with your group?
Well, people reached out through Instagram. They've reached out through the podcast to us. They've just called the church and reached out in that type of way. But usually that is, we've seen people kind of reaching out through either a referral where somebody knows my number or knows Ted's number. There's a few other guys, you know, that are on the team as well. And
is there a link at the CGN site for to connect directly with these guys?
Okay, there you go.
Well, CalvaryGlobalNetwork.com.
Just go to the website, contact our offices through the website, and we'll get you in touch with.
And one final thing as we wrap it up here, Rob, you got through two of your points. What's the third and final one?
So the final one is engage. And this is the one that we're really hoping to grow in this year. And we have a vision to do these quarterly breakfasts, as well as it was really on our heart to have some gatherings where it'd be just a small gathering of pastors, like at my house or at Ted's house, to just pour into them, pastors and their wives. So we're just looking for doing some different things like that this year in 2022. We've even talked about doing like little mini one-day conference where maybe we might focus on a specific topic with a specific speaker, like maybe mental health or something like that, and just say, hey, you want me to come and just be available to engage with people in that type of way and create an opportunity. So encourage, equip, and engage.
So the way to get in touch with them is CalvaryGlobalNetwork.com, and you'll find a way to do that on there. And also we'll put a link in the description to the Leadership Collective podcast, which is a great resource that you and Ted are putting out. Thank you so much, Rob, for being with us, and God bless you and your work.
It's fun. Thanks. Thanks for having me, guys. Bless.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the CGN Mission and Methods podcast. The Calvary Chapel CGN International Conference is coming soon. It will be from June 26th through 29th in Costa Mesa, California. Our theme this year is Gospel Culture, and we will be joined by great speakers like Tony Clark, Tim Chaddick, and Ray Ortland, to name just a few. There will also be helpful seminars on many topics related to different ministry areas. For more information and to register, go to conference.calvarychapel.com. In our next episode, we will discuss a theological stream that we belong to as a network at CGN, which is premillennialism. We'll talk about what we believe about eschatology and why we believe it, and how that belief works out practically in the ways we relate to others. New episodes are being released every 2 weeks, so make sure you subscribe to the podcast so those episodes will be delivered to your device as soon as they come out. We'd love to hear from you. About these episodes, you can email us at cgn@calvarychapel.com. And if you'd like to support the podcast, one of the best ways you can do that is by giving us a rating and review on your podcast app. Written reviews are particularly helpful in helping boost this content so other people can find it and benefit from it. Until next time, God bless you.